From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to the Tater Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. It's always nice to be coming here behind Lee Morgan, Sidewinder. I go through this once in a while. I ran into a few Sidewinders. That's a beautiful snake. You ever see a Sidewinder?
I didn't know it was a Sidewinder.
I forgot to interrupt.
There are no snakes where I grew up. There's the adult, the human snakes, but no, like...
Yeah. They do outnumber the others.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, your basic rattler is nice, but a Sidewinder is something to behold. You can look at footage of it moving. It lifts its body and leaves a definite special mark. You know when it's in the neighborhood. It's the Tater Report, as I mentioned, and today we'll be talking about all this labor, the developments in Longshore, the Unifor striking at metro stores. The Teamster strike in the U.S. with United Parcel Service. And I used to say UP, and I got people said, no, that's Union Pacific, United Parcel Service. So, and also the upcoming, big face-off coming with the, used to be called the Big Three. But I want to start by mentioning it. There is developments, very important ones, in Africa. And Tater Report calls attention to this because you can tell that something big happened in St. Petersburg because the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Globe and Mail and the Toronto Star have thought it important to tell us that nothing big happened. See, you say, all right, so something big. I wanted to do that Bob Dylan thing, that something's going on and you don't understand, do you, Mr. Jones? You remember that?
I remember that very well.
I listened to it and I found that it's not really appropriate, but there's a great line. They don't understand. But they're very frightened. And so I thought we should remark on this and to tie it in, too, with a theme of the Tater Report, which is to keep track of the events of the Great Lakes region of Africa, and particularly as we have done, following what had occurred at the so-called UN Tribunal for Rwanda. And listeners to the show will know that we followed the story of the 9 prisoners who were transferred from Tanzania to Niger. And the tragedy of their story is that these were individuals who had either been acquitted by the tribunal or had been convicted and had served their times. In other words, all of them to be released and to return to their families. But because of the bizarre arrangement of so-called justice for the prisoners at the International Criminal Tribunal, it turned out that there was a fail switch on the tribunal. So they could arrest you. They could hold you for a year, 2 years, three, sometimes more, before putting you on trial. Then you could be acquitted, and it turned out there was nowhere for you to go, so they kept you. So these were 9 individuals who remained in Tanzania and had nowhere to go. So I guess it's been 2 years now. They negotiated an arrangement with the country of Niger. The United Nations did. And they sent them to this place, Niger. Now, you may have heard about Niger. It's in the headlines. Because here they are. Now they are 7. They were... One stayed behind because he had cancer and needed treatment in Nairobi, Mr. Bichimupaka. And the other eight went to Niger. One of them died about 2 months ago. It was written about, by the way, by this really, I guess we could say, celebrated British journalist, Michelle Arong. She's the only journalist that I know of who went to see them. So there, what did she find? They're in a house in a very hot country. Rwanda, their homeland, is not a hot country. It's a it has altitude and steady rain, and it's a really quite comfortable environment. So they're in Niger, which is extremely dry and hot. So they're in a building, and the as far as I know, their food is supplied by caring relatives who see that they have groceries. So today they're living with a new situation. The government that took them in, which, by the way, also once they were there 2 weeks, and then the government said, we've changed our mind, you have to go. And they said, well, go where? Well, go nowhere. So nowhere. So they turned into limbo because the United Nations, who didn't want to have literal blood on their hands, intervened to say, please keep them, and we'll try to arrange something. So Niger, they're living on what they, you remember that expression, borrowed time. They're sitting in a building in Niger, living on borrowed time. These are, by the way, professional people. If you want to look at them closely, most of them were highly educated individuals, had one kind of a job or another in the government of Rwanda in 1994. So we're concerned about what happened to them. And I raise it all, I come to this very important point about that. We now have a new Minister of Justice, Attorney General. His name is Arif Virani. He's from right here in Toronto, by the way. So we're pretty proud of that. He, in his resume, to show that he what a grand fellow he is, he's one of the prosecutors who put these people in prison. So I would like to call on him. I'm going to ask if he has a conscience. When you prosecuted someone and they were acquitted, did you think you had the right to hold them forever? Or do you think that you ought to be on the side of the person who's in that house and help rescue him? So I'm really glad now we have Arif Virani, who is our Minister of Justice, because he could pick up a phone. I know that not everybody would answer, but there's some people answer his calls. And he could say, you know, you're making me look bad. I was a prosecutor, and we did lose some cases there. And those individuals have the right to their freedom. Not only in the cases we lost, of course, those who served their time have rights. So I assume he also gives a speech probably three times a week in which he mentions human rights as something sacred to him. And that makes him, you know, makes it him get up every day with new vision and energy to serve the people. So if he does, if he did, if he says those things, he has to be called a hypocrite if he won't fight to save the eight who are sitting, seven, one of them died. The seven, that would, I'd say that's his job. And otherwise, I'm going to say he's shouldn't be serving as Minister of Justice in a government committed to human rights and international law and things like that. We'll keep track of him. I by the way, if the minister wants to call the Taylor Report, I'd be happy to talk to him about all this. I do know some of the people he prosecuted. They'd probably like to talk to me about him as well. So anyway, it's the Taylor Report, CIUT. Keep your eye on Niger. In terms of what's happening in Niger, it looks good, frankly. Because according to Globe and Mail, they said, we may have lost our best friend in Niger. He's some called leader that has been removed the West's best, most valuable friend in North Africa. And because he allowed U.S. Drone bases, So from Niger, the Americans can fly and kill people, which, I mean, you can't ask for better stuff than that. And they I love this. Here, you know, we're in a country that colonizes other people. We train their troops. And so that means that those are not backward. We train them because they don't know anything about fighting. We told them how to fight. So they look up to us. But apparently, the ones who look up to us are in a minority because the people are in the streets. They seem to like the new leader. And what I was struck by was the Globe is really alarmed. You may have seen it, Phil. They ran photographs. They said they're waving Russian flags. They said they're having demonstrations. They're waving Russian flags. I mean, you can almost see the editor jump out of his chair. And then you don't believe me? And then they start producing pictures, people with Russian flags. So that is a sign of, something is going on, Mr. Jones, and you don't understand. It's a very significant moment. We'll see. The West has immediately done what it always does. We're going to put you under sanctions. Naughty, naughty, naughty. We're not going to talk to you. You can't come to the meeting. We do so much for you. You can forget that aid. You can starve now because we're mad. And that is our posture. I'm sure that our foreign minister has already said it. I don't have to look it up. I just know they've said that. But this trend has been going on, which takes me back to St. Petersburg, where there was a number of leaders there. Now, as I said, the Star Globe, Washington Post said nothing happened. Well, yeah, but I looked at the picture, and I saw Putin standing and with a group of African leaders, and on his right hand was the president of Egypt. And the last I heard, Egypt was a kind of an important country. And on his left hand was the president of South Africa. I think it's an important country, you know. If you ask Canadians name African countries, they would say Egypt, South Africa, because they hear about them. Ethiopia was there. Eritrea was there. Uganda was there. When I say there, I mean the presidents. President of Senegal was there. President of Burkina Faso. Hey, take a look at him, by the way. Have you ever seen the leader of Burkina Faso? I would say, don't trifle with this man. And for those who are nostalgic for the days when America and France were just blowing up and down Africa and pushing people over, they organized the overthrow of the government, a democratic government of Ivory Coast, out of Burkina Faso. But now the monsters who did that are gone, and there's this new guy, and he's standing next to Putin. So I know that the Washington Post and others want, and New York Times want us to think nothing happened. It kind of looks like something happened. Now, on what happened, I would say this. Let's show, as the Russians did, this is the reason they were popular, according to the guys attending the meeting. By the way, about 48 out of the 52 countries of Africa, 46 maybe, attended. But 18 were the presidents, big ones. And, of course, that's where they parse it and say, well, all the presidents didn't show up. But striking is that president of Eritrea, Isaias Afwerki, gave a really interesting talk. They didn't just go to have a handshake and their picture taken. The president of Eritrea's speech is available, but Museveni's speech is available. And I want to say, little asterisk, I'm not an admirer of President Museveni. I could do a number about things, sins, etc. But what was striking to me, and I asked listeners, please go and read the speeches, show respect for the African leaders who attended. What did they say? But Museveni gave a speech which was, I would call it a time warp. The kind of speech that you could have expected to read after, during the time of the Soviet Union, and an African leader would go there. He talked about the French Revolution. He talked about the attempt of Metternich to, in the name of feudalism, to stop the French Revolution, he said, of 1789. He knows the dates. And he said Metternich couldn't win. Metternich couldn't win because Metternich represented feudalism. And he says, you are with us in representing anti-colonialism, and we ask you to lead. By the way, that was the theme of the speech, also, the president, F. Werke, of Eritrea. And it was a very sober speech, and he, very thoughtful, by the way, now we're in the internet age, you can watch him. You can also watch the Russian officials and other Africans as he speaks. He was being very serious, rather like a lawyer presenting a brief. He was looking around the room, and he was making his points. And he said, don't worry about sanctions. They sanctioned the hell out of us, and we're still here. He said, they're sanctioning you because you're friendly with us. They want to control the world. And so you're the a problem for them. And you belong to that school of thought that nations are equal and sovereign. And they are hegemonists. This was F. Werke speaking. You can get an education listening and watching that. And it is available. If you can't find it, write to the Taylor Report and we will put you on to it. But there are no secrets anymore. The internet, gets to, by the time we leave here today, Phil, all these things will be covered 5-10 different ways. And you can drown in information. But the information we'll look at is the speeches given by the major leaders, African leaders, at that meeting in St. Petersburg. And yes, Mr. Jones really has a problem.